CliffCentral.com.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Joe Biden's president, man. Everything's fine. Come on, man.
Help is on the way.
Help is on the way.
We're going to restore America's soul, whatever that means. You know. So anybody who watched the inauguration yesterday, love to hear what you thought. Love to hear what you make of that. And whether you enjoyed seeing Lady Gaga and Jennifer Lopez and, you know, all of that stuff, because
gosh, Brooks,
what a spectacle. So Pumi watched it, and she's going to give us her feedback as well a little bit later
on. How dare you miss out Garth Brooks?
Garth Brooks. I have never, I can say this without having to feel bad, like I've never been a Jennifer Lopez or Garth Brooks fan. I don't think I know any Garth Brooks songs. Unfortunately, because I did commercial radio, I know some Jennifer Lopez songs, but Garth Brooks, I wouldn't, if you asked me a general knowledge question about Garth Brooks, I wouldn't know a damn thing, except that he's a country singer, and that's it. That's really all I know. Do you know anything more about him? Anybody? Interesting fact about Garth Brooks? I mean,
you got to see his documentary. He is like, geez, he goes on and on and on and on, right? And he's like the super, in his mind, he's like this philosophical guy, typical Southern guy. And it is unbelievable. He's living in on another planet. It's an unbelievable, I can't even explain it. It's so awkward.
He sang Amazing Grace, which in my mind really, really, really needs a big black woman to sing.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's one of those songs.
It, you know? It needs an Aretha.
It needs a
Re,
yeah, Sis Re.
It just wasn't, you know, even though I did see like Barack having a moment.
Shame. This is the first time Barack's had a moment in 4 years, because for the last 4 years you'd swear that he'd been attacked by crows. So, no, seriously, like the guy's been, he's been, listen to Jennifer Lopez's high note. This is great. We've got a special version of this for you. Let's get loud. Mm-hmm. So she goes from like America, blah, 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 to let's get loud. Listen again.
At a concert. This is not a club, it's an inauguration.
I don't know. I think to a lot of people there's no difference. It's like it's all about like the celebration. Anyway, listen, I mean, for what it's worth, the Americans put on a good show.
They do.
And
that's one thing they're great at.
Don't know how to do half measures, those guys.
No.
Subdued, pull back, none of that.
Mm-mm.
I see all of what they're doing. This whole politics is for the people, and we're with the people, and we're one of the people. But there's also decorum. There's also a standard, man, making things count. I don't want to see my politicians fist bumping as if they're sitting at a pub. I don't want to see Bernie Sanders sitting around like he's about to go and finish working in his garden after this. No,
did you see? So Bernie was hilarious, because there's a picture of Bernie. There's a picture of Bernie sitting there. Now, like, I always find Bernie very amusing, because he's a strange chap, right? And there's a picture of Bernie, and he's sitting there with his arms folded with these really, like, horrible, like, knitted gloves on. The kind of gloves you'd expect a crazy old man to wear, and he's got his mask on, and he's wearing the same jacket from the meme. You know the meme with Bernie going, "I need your money." Well, he's doing that, and then the caption says, "Bernie looking like this could have been an email."
So, yes.
See Bernie sitting there. He's like, "This could have been an email." He's just like, and all the social distancing makes it look like people didn't really want to be around each other either. Obviously, we know what the reasons are for that, but the whole thing just looked kind of sad. It didn't look triumphant, which is what I think they were going for. And man, if you listen to the media, like, I think Anderson Cooper must have orgasmed 300 times during the broadcast yesterday. Brian Stelter, you see, unfortunately the only channel I could watch it on was CNN, because the others were equally bad, I'm sure, but it was almost more entertaining to hear the CNN anchors just coming with like Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is so great. I can't help myself. And there was one moment where I think it was Brian Stelter from CNN. He goes, you know, the lights down the mall are like the outstretched arms of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris embracing the nation. I was like, who talks? What are you, the poet laureate, or are you a CNN commentator? He goes, you know, one of the things that's so beautiful about this is the love affair between Dr. Jill Biden and Joe. I'm like, really? We've been so focused on their love affair before. We didn't notice it until now. Must and then he says, just like the Obamas before them.
And did then, you see the Clintons, though?
Oh, my God. So, Bill fell asleep. Cold. But Bill fell asleep during Joe's talk. And I must tell you, I think Joe's speech was actually pretty good. But Bill was fast asleep at one point. Look, he's an old man now, and he's had a really harassed couple of years. I mean, the worst thing that ever happened to Bill was all his friends, Harvey Weinstein and Jeff Epstein and all of the other Steens, all going to jail or dying.
Actually, some might say the worst thing that ever happened to Bill is Hillary, but okay.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's a good point. But, you know, and then Vogue magazine and Tatler magazine, who I follow on social media again, they're like, oh, fashion has returned to Washington. You would swear these people had all been personally, physically traumatized by what has happened over the last 4 years, and that they're just trying to deny it now by and you know when someone oversells something, like I don't for a minute believe that Joe Biden doesn't deserve a chance, that Kamala Harris won't surprise us. I mean, there might be some really great things that happen in the next 4 years, but when you're overselling it before the fact, you really, I mean, listen, these are not the people who were going crazy for, oh, Melania looks so beautiful, and she does because she's a fucking model. But nobody said that at their inauguration.
You know who was traumatized by the past 4 years? And you can see it when she walks out of that Air Force One is Melania. I have never seen her smile so genuinely. Such a big smile. She was so happy. The photographers were out there. They came out. She was just like, walked straight past all of them into the car.
I always said that she didn't want this. She didn't want any of this stuff. She was like, this is not part of deal that I give when come to America to spend Donald money. I come here, you know, and she... It just seems to me like if you want sycophancy, if you want to see people who are so far up the Democrat backside that they're basically coming out of their throats, just watch CNN. It is sickening. Like, I don't mind any of yesterday. All of it was okay, and I watched parts. I couldn't stomach the whole thing because CNN's coverage is just so unbelievable. They were basically going down on Joe, Jill, Kamala and her husband, whose name I can't remember, the Obamas. I mean, it's like, you know, Saint Barack came back from the grave, and now they've got Obama administration part two. And like, CNN were literally filleting themselves the entire way. There is no other way to put it. Any of their contributors completely lost any sense of objectivity, any sense of what their jobs are as news people. The way they were talking about America's being cleansed, this is a new dawn, you would think that we just repelled an alien invasion.
Should we tell them about new dawns or not? Should we just let them find out?
Yeah, so let's let them know what a new dawn is and send Cyril over there to give them a speech. Talk about uninspiring.
Should we warn them?
Well, I got to tell you, while we're on the note of Cyril, and this is also something we might get into in the Burning Platform, but it's definitely not news. Anytime I say something on social media now, because news is... news is the weakest thing ever. First of all, they always go, all the news people, all the journalists always say, oh, well, trust is at an all-time low, fake news, people don't know who to believe. Then they do this and they wonder why. What I'm talking about is, this is from thesouthafrican.com. I'm not sure if that is actually a news site or not, but there's someone there called Irene Rue who says, Gareth Cliff, this is the headline, Gareth Cliff tells SA government to stop fucking stealing. Okay, which I do. I'm not going to deny it. That is the truth. But is it news? This is what passes for news these days. South African radio and television personality Gareth Cliff. By the way, I haven't been on radio for 7 years. Can we please stop calling me radio personality? Can we please stop calling me shock jock? You know, cliffcentral.com is 7 years old.
Give her a break. If she's Irene, above that 45 line, give her a break.
Irene doesn't look so old. There's a little picture of her here. She looks like, I don't know if you can even see that, but she doesn't look old. She looks possibly like in a... She's a journalist for the SouthAfrican.com. She's probably 24 and it's her first job and she's being paid 4,000 rand a month. Anyway, so it seems the broadcast...
Is that going
right? I don't know. For journalists, yes. Journalists. It seems, and again, if this is part of any theme this morning, it is that I don't see any difference between whoever this is and CNN's esteemed journalists, who, with all the love in the world, are not news people. But this is the story. I can't believe I'm a story and that this is it. Basically, they went to my Instagram and I got a message from government, an SMS from government. We all do, right? I think most of us do. Like 11 o'clock in the morning. You don't get any in Bulalo? Shame.
I do not.
They don't care about you.
Thank goodness. Well, look, that's not news to me. They've shown me for 25 years they don't give a stuff about me. So it works for both of us.
So here it is.
I used to get calls from Musi.
Thank God I never got those. So you know what, Pums? I'll swap you. No, you can keep Musi because you don't get them from the DA anymore. It was only while Musi was there.
It was Musi.
Okay.
It was Musi.
Yeah, I think I'll rather take government than Musi. But it seems the broadcaster has clearly had enough when he responded to an automated message sent by the South African government regarding the coronavirus pandemic. Cliff seemingly responded to a message. Seemingly. I did respond to a message. Experiencing this. See, again, like, don't they learn English at journalism school? South Africa is experiencing the resurgent blah, blah, blah. Well, Cliff wrote as a response, maybe if you can stop forcing more of us into fewer places, supply adequate electricity, pay poor people social grants, and stop fucking up everything you touch, then perhaps you could start to ask us how to change our behavior. How about that? And they've got a picture of it there.
So this is a new and dangerous innovation they have there in the newspapers, this using social media to mine for news. The kind of stuff, like News 24 had celebrities who went on holiday.
You know, maybe...
Instagram pics of all these various people in...
Right.
And I was just like, oh, why do we buy the papers?
I know, and it's really, this is all about journalism. It's got nothing to do with me or with... You know, the Biden inauguration or Kamala Harris or the Obamas or the Clintons or the Trumps or anybody else. It's actually just about the parlous state of news. And
so, did you see...
And what passes for news these days? Sorry, yes, Pops? Yeah.
Did you see the blow-up between Somizi and the journalist over the
yes.
weekend?
Yes. Now, again, I'm totally... And I'm totally on Somizi's side. I know that there have been threats against these journalists and so on, but that's always what they say. They always say they've been threatened. Guess what? I haven't had a year since I've been in media where some lunatic hasn't threatened to kill me. There hasn't been a year of my life in the media world where someone hasn't threatened to kill me. It is almost like a mark that you've made it in media. If you're a journalist and you work for a piece of... this person works for the Daily Sun or something? One of them. And they were...
City Press.
City Press.
City Press.
Potato, potato. None of them have any more credibility than any other. And they were talking about how Somizi and Mohale's relationship is falling apart or something. But, of course, they don't have any inside info. They're just making it up. And when they say that they've asked for comment, because, you know, as a proper ethical journalist, what you should do when you hear a story is you should ask the person involved in the story, who you're putting in the headline. They're not putting mystery person says something about celebrity marriage. They put Somizi's marriage is on the rocks or whatever. But then they don't...
The right to reply.
So they call up, supposedly, they call up Somizi, but usually they don't do that. They actually just phone your number and it goes to voicemail and they go, oh, well, we tried. I mean, that's what they did with me when they said that I had an illegitimate child in the Northwest.
With who?
So and so.
Oh, you didn't know that story?
So and so couldn't be reached by the time.
Ah, that's then, awesome.
Yeah, some woman in the rural Northwest claimed, because she'd seen me on TV, and she obviously had this idea in her head, like this fantasy that I'd made a child with her. And the journalist from, I think that was the Daily Sun. It was on Father's Day one year. I'll never forget. I got up early. I went to the garage to go and buy some stuff to make. This was my girlfriend at the time's suggestion. Let's make breakfast for your dad and obviously the rest of your family. And why don't you go and buy the stuff at the shops and then come back? So at the garage, I'm filling up, and the guy goes, hey. So I'm like, what is going on here? Yeah, in the news. So I'm like, oh, shit. So I look in the news, and then on the front page, but front page headline of the Daily Sun is like Gareth Cliff's love child or whatever. I mean, I've still got it somewhere. It's hilarious. Now I look at it as a very funny thing, but on Father's Day, it was so funny. So
I remember it also used your second name.
Yes.
That was the funniest part.
Oh, dare they.
Gareth Rydell Cliff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like,
so my girlfriend says to me, "You got to take this to the press ombudsman." So I'm like, "Why? It's so ridiculous." She's like, "No, it's important because this journalist didn't do their job." So the journalist says, when eventually they're investigated for publishing what is complete fake news, before that was a term. I mean, this is what 2014, no, maybe 2013,
probably like 10 years ago.
Okay, well, whatever.
15 years ago.
Anyway, so this journalist, they ask the journalist in question, who I'm sure has gone on to work in other news media organizations without any censure at all, did you try and get hold of Gareth to corroborate the story? You know, whether he even knows this person who's alleging this. Yeah, well, I called the number she gave me, and it just rang and rang and rang. So that was my attempt at getting comment. I'm like, that's all you did? You didn't actually speak to me or hear my voice. So he says, yeah, but here's the number. So, I mean, the number's a number I've never had. She made that up too. And he didn't bother to think.
You could have sent an email.
Yeah, well, exactly. Nothing. I got nothing. So, I mean, this is the state of journalism. So this is why when they say, for example, that this is news in thesouthafrican.com, which I don't know that site at all. To me, that's just...
Although there is a way to respond to these things, and I'm just going to put it out there. Mm. So Musi was wrong to dox her. He was wrong.
I agree with that.
There's no, I haven't given me the scoop.
So what happened is she sent, I think, a rather polite text to Somizi to say, I'm working on the story, and this is what I've heard. Do you have any comment?
Yeah.
So Somizi goes full ghetto on her. Every kind of, like,
right.
The swear word he didn't use is the one he doesn't know, right? he went full ghetto on her. And then he posted her number on, so his kind of recent calls or whatever. And posted it on all his social media platforms and said, I think everybody should call and harass her so that she can know how.
Like that's,
that is wrong.
I know, that's going over a line. But essentially, if they're going to use you for news, then they must be prepared to get some backlash as well. I'm not saying doxing is right, and I'm not saying that publishing her number and telling people to harass her is right. Obviously, that's wrong.
So Mizzi needs to also understand that if he wants to use them to up his profile,
yes,
this exactly. is the flip side of it. We had three weeks of Somizi and Mohale, all that shit. So when it falls apart, we must be part of it.
I agree. And you know what, Pums? I suppose you've reminded me of something that someone told me very early on in my career, and thank God I heard these words and they rang in my ears, and I still remember them clearly. If you're going to live through the media, you'll die through the media. If you're going to get people to pay for your wedding, you're going to do it on television. You're going to share it with everybody. When you let people into that private part of your life, which is why you will never, if I ever get married, you will never see my wedding in the news. as far as I can possibly help. I will not sell the picture rights to anybody, no matter how many wedding cakes they pay for. I don't let journalists into my house. You know this, right? I mean, you know this about me. I don't ever talk about my family without their permission. I don't ever talk about my friends without their permission. There will be conversations that we have on this show because it's our show. We all own it together and our listeners own it with us, but not in other media, because then you can't control where it goes. And the minute they think they can get into your life a little bit, they're going to get into your life a lot. And now Somizi's dealing with, you know, what you sow, you will reap.
I appreciate the conversation that has been happening around the state of media in this country, particularly. You know, people like Penny Lebiane were commenting and saying, you know, now it doesn't even seem like full proper effort is put into news stories, as you were saying a little earlier, Gareth. Yeah. Things like if Somizi and Mohale are really getting divorced, yeah, and you say they are going to court, court documents are public records. Mm. Have you even gone to the courts to find the documents to corroborate the
story
that
you're
writing?
Well, the same could be said for like the Fresh Euphonics situation. We don't know if a charge has actually been laid or who has laid that charge. And until that happens, you know, it's just rumor. And business, the business of a newspaper is not to spread rumor. It is to spread news. If you start spreading rumor, who's going to take you seriously when you are telling us about news?
And this is going really basic now. I know this for a fact, that the City Press offices are in Auckland Park. The SABC is in Auckland Park. Could this journalist have just gone down the road to wait at the SABC, to wait for Somizi to walk in for his show and be like, hey, do you have a comment? None of that. It just seems like if it's not on my WhatsApp, it's not on Instagram, oh, well, then I'm not
lazy. It's pure lazy journalism.
So it is also about time, right? So I think one of the things that newspapers are dying on the hill of is wanting to be the one to break the story, want to be first out with it. And that shit doesn't work anymore, you know, with Twitter and all of that. And so because they don't give themselves the time to do the research, to do the background, I mean, what Tembeka Mugaitobi's report came out, it's 330 pages long. Within 30 minutes, people are reporting on this report. I'm like, what?
You haven't read it.
30
exactly.
minutes.
Yeah.
You read this thing in 30 minutes, and then you had like deciphered and thought through it and checked. I went like 30 minutes later, they've got headlines.
So the thing about Somizi is he's not a serious person. So why should we start treating his thing as being serious? Because you know, South African, and the more I've been in the industry, is I've seen there's two types of people. There's people that are serious about their craft, so whether it's being whatever it may be, and then there's people who are so desperate to be celebrities is they'll do anything to be famous. And he falls on that side for me. So when you behave like that, there is no celebrity culture here in South Africa. So Mizi, if you're going to be that, you're going to get that type of writing, because the paparazzi lies about Jennifer Lopez, for goodness sake. Who are you not to get that type of treatment? Serious journalists don't report on Jennifer Lopez. They don't report on Somizi. So this is how it's going to be. But, you know, a friend of mine in the UK, so she's one of the UK's greatest singer-songwriters, and she tragically died a couple of years ago, multiple Grammy Award winner. And
Amy Winehouse?
And she used to say to me all the time, it's not a bad guess. She said to me all the time, once you get into that realm, you belong to them. Right. And she said, even though, I mean, I think they ultimately killed her with the drugs and her father, but she said, that realm, you are in that now, you belong to them as soon as you step into that realm. Yeah. She never gave excuses about the press. So if you want to be famous and that's all you care about, which Somizi does, clearly, he must never ever say anything else, just deal with this. Like, this is what you want.
Duncan says, Bulela's right. Why is Somizi even relevant? Andre says, I think there's a place for fake news. It provides entertainment. That's an interesting point of view. Seamus says, Gareth has a father-son relationship with Sia. Okay, Sia's, yeah. But that's what's happening, right, Sia?
Don't mention that after we just spoke about your love child. That wasn't
On the love child, Anushka says, yes, I remember that love child story of Gareth's. I was so excited that Gareth was going to have a coloured child, lol.
Happy seeing Daniel part two.
Yeah. Rachel Colisi shared on her Instagram that she was first friends with Sia for a while before they started dating. That little story made it all the way to the Voice news site saying that Sia was friend-zoned. Yeah, you see, this is the kind of shit that we're talking about. Apparently, the South African has a free newspaper handed out in London. I think it was best used to cover the seats in the backgrounds of, in the underground and the buses. Oh, okay, sorry. That's what they use it
Not for the fish and chips?
Probably. Annette is agreeing with Mbulelo. Someone else said, wow, Mbulelo can't get a word in edgewise, but when he does, he makes perfect sense. So, Mbulelo, you saved the best to last on that one. Lots of people agreeing with you. Okay, let's get to some headlines. We've got stuff to do this morning. We don't have time to mess around and waste everybody's time. First story from this morning's news is that David Mania and the tourism and hospitality industry have been hard hit by lockdowns. Jobs are being lost as a result of the continued closure of the beaches, curfew, and the alcohol ban. And the Western Cape MEC for Economic Opportunities, David Mania, said on Wednesday that he wants pleas for government to extend the UIF COVID-19 TERS report. He proposed that it be extended for as long as the additional restrictions are in place. Now, I don't know David Mania. He seems like one of those people who is taking advantage of a bad situation to make him and his party look like they're empathetic, which is obviously what politicians do. But I can't really disagree. Like, if government is going to keep a number of people locked down, then they've got to help those people to earn a living. And by they, I mean the taxpayer, because government don't make money. I would like to not see our tourism industry completely collapse. I would like to see hospitality in this country survive the lockdown. This 9 o'clock curfew is ridiculous. I've always said the alcohol ban's ridiculous. I think the whole lockdown situation is ridiculous. And it turns out I'm not alone. There are a whole lot of reports and surveys that have been coming out from people who are completely objective. You know, the organizations that we rely on as fact checkers, in fact, are the ones who've come forward and said, there is no evidence to show that lockdown does any good whatsoever. In fact, it does more damage than good. So this is almost it's an argument that's been had, but no one wants to listen. So if you're going to force people to be locked down, I'm afraid you're going to have to find a way to give them TERS support. And that's all that David Mania is saying. Anybody disagree?
Nope. No. Has anyone, though, received or discovered any stats or numbers around our tourism over December? Because our borders were open.
I haven't, I'm afraid. I really haven't. It's not something that I wouldn't normally go looking for that kind of information. But if anyone knows, please let us know.
It's a little sad.
I think you could ask any hotel. You could, you know, there's a lot of people you could speak to. Anyway, there's a lot going on. So let's just look at this quickly. The National Prosecuting Authority has made changes to the charges against controversial surgeon Peter Beale. Now he's controversial because you remember Zayan Sayed, who is the kid who died in his care, a 10-year-old. His co-accused, Dr. Abdoulaye Munshi, was gunned down last year after several death threats. Because remember, the father of this child is supposedly involved with a whole lot of very dodgy people. So this Peter Beale is being accused of being responsible for the death of this child, and now the NPA has made changes to their charges and basically charged him with fraud and murder. And the danger with this, as we've discussed before, is that if you are going to charge doctors with fraud and murder in a case where they might have done everything they could to save someone's life, but they just couldn't, then doctors are going to take first legal advice rather than applying emergency care to people, because they're going to go, ooh, this looks like it might turn into a case. I don't know if I want to treat this kid. I'll just give it to another doctor. And then things will happen that might precipitate an unnecessary death there too. I'm not protecting doctors. You know I don't think that they're superhuman. And doctors make mistakes, and they must be responsible for their mistakes. But honestly, this is a very slippery slope. The minute you start criminally charging doctors with what is at most a case of you know, unfortunate circumstances, or even a little bit of negligence, where, you know, they didn't attach the IV drip 5 minutes earlier or whatever. I've seen how these doctors work, and often if you really care about people, you do whatever you can in the moment in order to assuage as much damage. It's triage, basically. You can't then charge them if it doesn't go right and they end up... They're trying to save lives. There's no doctor who's maliciously trying to kill a 10-year-old on purpose. And I don't think this is one of those people. Certainly his record doesn't seem to reflect that. So it's
and
very,
I don't want to be insensitive. This happens all the time.
It does. Sorry, I mean, people are
dying, you know? All the time at the hands of medical professionals. But it reminds me of something my mom always says to people when they say doctor and health is, if you ever have to go and see the doctor, more often than not, it's already too late. And it even starts with people like weight loss and health. Whenever you have to go and see a doctor, more often than not, it's too late. So, and that's a really harsh reality to have to tell people. And I don't want to seem insensitive.
No, I know. And this is a kid. So this is a child. So obviously, you know, it's a tragic situation. And I don't.
Let's not go down that slope. Sorry, I'm not.
But also,
it's not a good enough reason to start going down that.
And let's not be gunning down doctors.
Yeah.
In the street because they didn't necessarily do the most perfect job for our child. I mean,
well, damn, just anyone. This isn't the mafia. Yeah,
let's not gun anyone down. Right, exactly. Sorry, what was that, Pums?
Are we going to talk about voter person or not?
Yes, I see he's been practicing as a cardiac surgeon, but there's a huge uproar about the fact that he's even doing that.
Oh, that's something else.
I mean,
that is.
So we know Voter Basson is one of the bad guys of the old days. You've got to be so careful what you say these days, because he's actually never been successfully prosecuted in a court, despite the fact that we know a lot about his involvement with the apartheid regime. So you have to be careful not to say he was a murderer, because that's not technically true, right? He hasn't been convicted of murder, otherwise he'd be in jail.
No, although he confessed to it.
Yeah, he did. He was at the TRC.
He was at the TRC and he put it out there. All the experiments that they did on black people.
Yes.
All of the so he put it out there. It's not an accusation.
So he's been practicing.
Confirmed by himself.
Just let me know here, Pums, what the actual outrage is this time, because someone's discovered he works for Mediclinic and he's been doing heart operations.
And then, of course, Mediclinic in PR department in the scramble of what then became, how dare you have this person, came out to say, actually, he doesn't work for Mediclinic. Mm. He has consulting rooms at Mediclinic, mm-hmm. and he has admission rights for his patients in their hospitals. So, and which is kind of a yes, but no. He's here, but not really. We allow him here because, you know, we need the money. Yeah, so what?
It's almost the equivalent of Adolf Hitler going, well, Goebbels doesn't necessarily work for the Gestapo. What he did, he worked for a PR company that we've brought in. So please, we were like, what do we do? Yeah. Voter Basson.
Yeah, unfortunately, we all kind of agreed to the terms of the TRC before it started, and we can't change our minds now. And whether we like this guy or not, and he's clearly not one of the good guys. I'm going to say that up front, even if it does get me into trouble. He's working now as a cardiac surgeon. And
Tracy just sent a message that she knows someone who assisted in one of his surgeries.
Ah, okay.
Complicit.
Well, yeah. Complicit in what, though, in the case of his surgeries? What? Complicit in saving lives or complicit in experimenting
complicit
against
in whatever
black
he's up to. Complicit in whatever he's up to, because we will never know what he's up to until the very end, huh?
That's a very safe statement. I like it.
I'm saying.
But it also...
You know, some people on Twitter say a retweet is not an endorsement. You almost have to say, hey, anesthesia with a voter is not an endorsement kind of thing. You almost have to put that on your Instagram account now.
How many people know the political leanings or the ideological past or the career history of their cardiac surgeon?
I don't know that, but what I do know is I do know of people in certain places that refuse to have black doctors work on them. So that is stories my mom has told me face to face. that's happening today. And she's
That's a real thing.
That's global, by the way. That's not just South Africa, you know. So
that's outrageous.
People are who they are.
That's outrageous.
But also, you don't go to a specialist without like figuring out or doing the research on what they've done in the past and the people that they've helped and all of those things. And if it's important to you to know what their political leaning is, then you should find it.
And you you do get to choose who operates on you. Ultimately, you have a say. You know, you have second opinions. You can go to a different specialist, blah, blah, blah. So the people who've had Wouter Basson work on them, those people have obviously opted in. Let's not range our guns on them now in a purity Olympics to see whether or not, because they just wanted their hearts fixed. They might have even been black, and they wanted their hearts fixed. And in this case, I don't think they particularly gave a shit about what Wouter Basson did before, even though ethically and morally, we're all sitting here going, for the right reasons.
And also what it tells you, I wanted to say earlier, is that 99% of us, including myself, are all dum-dums. We cannot get into medical school. People, less than 1% of the world's population are smart enough to figure out how your child's heart works. Please, let's not beat down on those people. We have these people that we protect. We call them celebrities all the time.
Yeah.
Let's maybe, we can chop them down. Who cares if some easy goes? I really care if a heart surgeon goes. I really, really do.
All right. Let's look at this story quickly, because there's quite a lot going on. Private schools can open even if the public schools don't, says the deputy minister. So that's interesting news. Apparently, private and independent schools were well within their rights to resume their academic year, even while public schools have pushed back against their reopening by 2 weeks because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Pums, you're the only one qualified to speak on this.
Dude. I think part of the reason why I have the knee grades I have is because we started homeschooling on Monday.
Oh, shame. You've already admitted that this is one thing you never wanted. You didn't sign up for this, to be a teacher.
Oh, Lord. It's hard. Also, Anushka sent a message earlier saying the homeschooling, guys, is not an easy task. Also, because you're trying to do your own work, right? And then you have a little person.
Mm. Yeah. No.
My unqualified opinion is also that school isn't just about the education. It's about having your kid away from you for 8 hours.
You know, definitely. There are honest parents who will admit that's part of the attraction and the allure.
A big part of it. A big part of it.
The United Nations.
Else looking after your kids.
The United Nations regional directors say they need more than $36 million to respond to the humanitarian crisis in the conflict region of Cabo Delgado in Mozambique. This is going on right across the border from us. Okay, and I mean it's far in the north, but let me tell you, this is very, very dangerous stuff.
It's not that far.
No, it's more than 165,000 people, that's 500,000 people, have fled their homes and are now internationally displaced. Guess where they're going to go? Zimbabwe? No, there's nothing you can do in Zimbabwe to feed your family. That's why Zimbabweans are coming here. Guess where they're going? A few of them may go north, but many of them may go south. And that means we are going to look at taking in maybe quarter of a million people. If we get half those people, that's 250,000 people in a country where we already have over 30% unemployment. This is not going to go well. And why they're doing this, why these people are fleeing, is because there is essentially an Islamic insurgency happening in the country, conversions at the barrel of a gun, and people being forced to flee in the face of armed militias that are going from village to village threatening people. And taking their stuff and taking their women and butchering their children and that kind of thing. It's an absolute disgrace that this is happening in the year 2021. You know, we think we're so civilized in this world, and this is happening to our fellow Africans in a country which we share a border with. It's frightening.
Oh, how well is that foreign policy of quiet diplomacy working out for us?
Well, don't ask Cyril, because it's not on his list of priorities, clearly.
Cyril.
But I think we must talk about this. Oh, I mean,
thank God for Cyril. Thank God for Cyril.
You just laughed at your president, Mbulelo.
Because he's, I mean, it's becoming now, they are such a joke, these people. Every time I have to think, yes, there's someone in Marabastad that needs these people. Are these the people that are going to save them? He is a joke. Like, why can't we say that? Why don't people feel free to say these people are a joke? And beginning with
Cyril, because if you do, Mbulelo, it'll end up being cut and paste from your social media and put into a newspaper tomorrow and called news.
Yeah, by these, these journalists. That's hilarious. I thought there were 5 W's, and Pumi, you'll know better than the rest of us within journalism. That her so-called article just now about your Instagram doesn't even answer those 5 journalistic W's, right? Is what the hell is going on? So she did 3 years drinking at Rhodes. What the hell did she learn down there? All you have to learn is 5 W's to write a half decent article, and I'm a dum-dum. I'm stupid, and I know that. Your parents wasted, 500,000 rand in those 3 years to put you at Rhodes, and so you can go and get drunk and to think
you could have become a plumber or an electrician and actually done something useful for humanity.
Amen. I'm not one for religion, but amen.
I mean, I love the way that the newspapers don't, and the media in general, even television, don't celebrate someone who becomes a female electrician or a female plumber or one of those things that we don't expect women to do because they're not glamorous jobs. But we'll celebrate the first female astronaut. We don't need more astronauts. We need more plumbers and electricians. We should be celebrating that.
Yeah.
There's this hierarchy of jobs which are considered really cool and jobs which are not considered cool. Some of those jobs that are not considered cool are way more important than the ones that they do esteem.
Yeah, being like when pizza is burst on a Sunday afternoon.
Correct. Let me tell you.
Then you think.
You realize, there isn't a plumber that you would not pay whatever they wanted when your geezer bursts on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Do you give a shit about some astronaut or politician or psychiatrist or... No. You know, that's not... Like, the emergency person is the plumber. Trust me.
You know, we are on a slippery slope. Is being famous has become more important than being great. And, you know, because if you become great in your thing, you'll become famous. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But it's worrying where we're headed of just be famous. And the great Ricky Gervais line, I don't know if you've heard it before. They always ask him about fame. And they say, oh, well, if you just want to be famous, kill a prostitute. Right? Because that'll get you famous. You will get yourself on the front page of a newspaper if it's just about the fame. But if you want to be great at something, it takes time. And I don't know how we get that into our society. I don't know how we can do it where everything's about being on Instagram and turning the camera towards yourself. Sure.
Sia, did you watch the inauguration yesterday? I haven't heard your thoughts on it.
No, I watched the full enchilada.
What time did you start watching and what time did you finish? Because that's the reason we didn't have a TV show last night, by the way.
So with events like this, I like to watch everything, including the build-up. Because as much as you were listening to CNN to hear the anchors fawn over things, I love to hear these broadcasters try to pad. When you think about it, it's like 7 hours on screen.
Yeah.
You kind of... lose things to talk about. So they end up saying, and now as the motorcade makes its way down the road, see the rubber on the wheels was actually imported from Geneva. It's like, no, it's useless, but you're trying to fill time. So I kind of like watching it like a bad car crash. I was streaming ABC and I was just into it. I was into everything. I was into Biden driving up and I noticed 46 on his number plate. I love that all of them were dressed in like monochromatic colors. I loved Lady Gaga walking out and looking like she was actually about to be, it's her coronation instead of an inauguration.
With that bird.
Amy Klobuchar was way too excited. She should have just toned it down a little. So yeah, I wasn't surprised.
Did you notice since you noticed the 46? Did you notice that the car was actually a little bit old because that's the beast that they commissioned for Barack? is the car that they haven't had a new one, not for the Don, and definitely not for Joe Biden. So that car, this is the third president, and that they just changed the number plate. They didn't change the car.
Well, that's like modesty when it comes to security.
Isn't that kind of what they did
that
with
the... That thing is not modesty. That thing is like an armored truck. It looks like it's a hugely armored truck.
What I'm saying is I don't want that. I don't care for that to be a point to say I'm saving the Americans money by not buying a new car. When it comes to safety, I want a new one every month. Screw that.
Annette says, I was very concerned. Annette says,
you are just like South Africans.
I was so concerned that Biden would not manage the stairs. Thankfully, he did, and I could stop watching.
I did. I don't know about you guys. Did anyone else have a bit of like just holding their breath through his speech? Because I just thought, don't fumble.
No, there were
I just thought, don't. Yeah, don't forget something. Just this is your moment.
Why would he forget it? It's on an auto cue.
Well, he's messed up some auto cues in the past.
He's not all there. I mean, this is what nobody was saying, right? So you have all the media falling over themselves and fawning and just dribbling and saying just they are so far up Joe Biden's backside. And I mean, this is only CNN because I didn't watch any other people. So CNN, the trusted name in news. Just day by day, I'm more and more impossible to watch if you have any respect for objectivity. But they're going at like Joe Biden, tongues are dripping. And none of them says this is the oldest president. None of them.
They did say.
Not on CNN, not when I was watching. They don't go, this is by far the oldest man
ever had.
And that everybody is questioning whether or not he's mentally all there. Because it was something that came up during the campaign. He was in his basement the entire way through because he was afraid of coronavirus. He's vulnerable. I mean, you know, even Bill Maher, who I like very much, and we have completely different political opinions, Bill Maher even said, we've got to protect Biden. This is a very vulnerable old man. He's a calamity magnet. You know, he was like bending down to pat the dog and he broke his foot. He keeps hurting himself. Like this guy is a danger to himself, and nobody's bringing any of that up in their coverage.
It's by African standards, he's a spring chicken. What's he, 78?
78. And I was doing the maths. I was doing the maths yesterday. The best thing for him to do is towards the end of his term to endorse someone else. And I assume it would be
Kamala.
Vice President now, Harris, because he would actually, if he did two terms, he would be out of there at 86 years old.
No, he won't do
two. That we can't do. No. We can't do for anyone involved. But my last observation of the inauguration, I think I'm one of probably seven people who care about this in the whole world. Where is Barron Trump? In the same line of where is Jack Ma? Where's Barron Trump? He was not seen. And yes, I understand he's autistic, and maybe the crowds might have been too much for him with the pomp and ceremony.
He's autistic?
He was nowhere to be seen yesterday. Yeah, they say he's on the spectrum somehow, and that's why they've said, you know, in previous public events or, you know, anything that they have to do as appearances or interviews, he's hardly ever there as part of the first family. But yesterday, he was nowhere to be seen. And the rest of the Trump kids and grandkids, they stood on the tarmac of the base, and the former president and former first lady said a bit of a speech, but he was not there. And I don't know where he is.
So did you see anybody having parties? Like a few people I know on social media are having parties. But for me, I had, you know, I don't know if people know this or not, but all the dumb rich kids, right, go and work at ski resorts. And they go and hide there. That's what they do. Like, we mustn't get away from it. Yeah. Trust me, I worked there. But all of these dum-dums who I worked with when I was at Whistler, I'm like, dude, you don't even know. I don't even think you know what the definition of democracy is. And here you are celebrating. Firstly, you're in Canada. But here you are celebrating. And they were having like a champagne party because Trump was gone. I was like, what is going on here? What is going on? But I guess I watch football. This is to some people, and I know for you, Garrett, this is your sport, right? It's two sides pitting themselves against each other. That is the narrative, or not so.
Well, yeah, I think that's a, you know, it's one of the reasons it's always kind of interested me. I think there are a lot of people who are, you know, we project stuff, right? So we project stuff into politicians, and this is where we end up hurting ourselves, is because a lot of people who are investing all of their hopes and dreams in Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the same people who laughed at people who were doing that with Donald Trump and Mike Pence. You know, and they don't see, there's no mirror there. There's like no sense of irony. The same people who were saying that Donald Trump is the worst person that ever lived are the ones who are now saying, thank God Joe Biden's the president because he's going to be able to change everything for the better. He'll defeat racism, for example. I'm like, what, a 79-year-old white guy is going to defeat racism? This is the guy? I mean, he was practically there when it was invented.
Yeah, along with the wheel, along with the invention of the wheel.
Like we have such unrealistic expectations. It's the same people who go, pray for Cyril, you know, or we are led in South Africa when Cyril makes a speech about like locking the country down and ruining everybody's lives. Everybody's like, we are led. We have this this childish desire. It's a childish wish thinking desire to have someone look after us. And you see it come to the fore at occasions. Now, listen, again, I'm going to say, I do believe that there will be some return to normal under Biden, and normal being not necessarily better. It's like people who say, well, do we really want to go back to having to work 9 to 5 at the office? Probably not. I mean, I've quite enjoyed the fact that we've had a change in our lives, whether it's been on purpose or by my desire or not. But the fact is, there is going to be some kind of return to normal, like the political machine will reorient itself back to the original compass points, and the same old systems will kick into gear, the same old systems that everybody has a problem with in systemic X, Y, and Z. But I don't think that Joe is going to save anybody, just like I didn't believe Trump would save anybody. I'm very realistic about this because I don't have a lot of faith in politicians. So if you found yourself celebrating Joe but bemoaning Trump, may I just say that you perhaps have too much faith in systems, and you have too much faith in politics, and that when it comes crashing down, which it inevitably does, and we're seeing that in Technicolor in certain parts of the world right now. Boris Johnson is a monstrous disappointment for everybody in the UK. Cyril Ramaphosa is a massive disappointment here in South Africa. Donald Trump was a massive disappointment in America, and don't think that any other leader is going to do any differently. You are the only person you can rely on.
Our good friend from Greece, a good mate of mine called Socrates, he told us 3,000 years ago, is don't ever say you're a fan of a politician. I can be a fan of my football team. Fan is short for fanatical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do not. And these people that I'm a fan of the ANC. I'm a fan of the DA. You sound like an idiot.
Yes.
You should not be fans of the people that are going to decide your medical policy. Don't be fanatical about politics.
Yeah.
That is trouble. That's how you get Adolf Hitler. That's how you get Mao, when you get fanatical about politics.
You put people who win popularity contests on a pedestal.
Get out of your heart, get into your head when it comes to politics. But hey,
by the way, do you guys think that former VP Mike Pence had a choice in being there yesterday? Because I don't think he did.
No, I think it was right that he was there. I think it was, there's something so childish about Donald just turning tail and like, I'm not going to go there, me, 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 me. It's like, you know, that's real sour grapes. And whether you were on his side or not, whether you think that there were one or two things that he might have done right, it's just, it's so childish to just hop on Marine One and fly away and not even go to the inauguration of your successor when that is something that is been a tradition for a long time. It shows a continuity of government. It's not about you, and he should have done the right thing. Mike Pence did the right thing, and I think he's gained an enormous amount of respect from people, even people who disagreed with him.
I started looking at him in a different light yesterday because he was very composed. He was there. There was a certainty there, and that was a good thing. But my favorite takeaway line from all of yesterday's festivities was what Trump said at the base. And he slipped this in. He said, "We'll be back in some way." And then he moved on. I thought, oh, okay. What do you mean?
Well, he did. You know, when he first came into office, one of his presidential things was that the Obama administration, anybody that worked in the Obama administration could not work as lobbyists going forward, right? Wow. So the last thing he did when he left is he repealed that decree. Yeah, just scratch it out. Yeah. So the thing that I thought 4 years ago, nobody should be able to do, now that my people are going out right there and they won't have any jobs, let me just scratch this.
And it's like when they pardon people, you know, at the end. Now, he pardoned Steve Bannon, but everybody was talking about how he was going to pardon the Tiger King, and he didn't.
I am so disappointed that there is no justice in the world. Tiger King got no pardon. They were so ready. They had a limo ready to go pick him up from prison. The Tiger King did not get pardoned, and Little Wayne did.
Yes.
What?
Oh, no, yeah. You buried the lead there. Plus, hey, in Lil Wayne's defense, he just released a new song for the Green Bay Packers, and they're about to compete to go to the Super Bowl. So that is something that you should really. Thanks. Shout out Donald Trump. Shout out.
Yes, and
I cringe to think about how history will write about all of this. Yeah.
And on the note of the Green Bay Packers, you've got to listen to and join in with Cliff Central Sport. And Bulelo's got a YouTube channel, which you must go and subscribe to today if you love sport. And it's something that you've been missing over the last year, and you feel like you just can't go to the normal sources for it because they present it in a boring way. He is doing it a different way. And if you like what Mbulelo does on this show, you need to go and subscribe to Cliff Central Sport. It is
And those
on
that
YouTube.
Are fans. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those that are fans, 12 to 2 will be moving to that from somewhere in the middle of Feb. We'll confirm those dates. The show is going to a 2-hour format.
Right.
We will be on. Yeah. So look out for some production. A major. Yeah. We're moving into a studio. We're really working hard on producing something we'll all be very proud of. So 12 to 2 midday. I know a lot of people listen at work. So look forward to having you listen with us.
Excellent. All right. Here's Lady Gaga, because we didn't get enough of her yesterday, right? You want some Lady Gaga?
Only if she's wearing a meat suit.
She's not wearing a meat suit, but this is a version of her song Poker Face on the piano. It's just her with an acoustic version of that, which maybe you'll like this. I don't know. I mean, I've always thought that she was very talented, but here she is, Lady Gaga.
CliffCentral.com.